where we came from, where we've been. They're eternal questions that say a lot about where we're going as the human race. Welcome to Ancient Mysteries on the Air. Welcome to Ancient Mysteries on the Air. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you today. And I love doing this particular show because, you know, the world is so full of mysteries. And today we're going to talk about some fascinating caves with a fascinating guest. And just a quick note for you, it is coming up on the holiday season, and we are having an ornament contest. All you have to do is go over to jimharold.com/holiday2019. That's jimharold.com/holiday2019 to find out all of the details. We did it last year. We had people send in great themed ornaments based on our various shows, and we had a winner, and everybody loved it, so we're going to do it again. And this year, we're giving away a $75 Amazon gift card, a campfire t-shirt, and a campfire book signed by yours truly. So please go over there, jimharold.com/holiday2019, to get all of the details. And I hope that you enter, and I hope that you win. And now on to another one of those ancient mysteries. There are certainly some amazing places out there right on this planet. And one of those places are the Taos Caves. And we have a guest with us today who has explored them extensively. He's done a lot of research. He's done a lot of work and perhaps knows them better than anybody. And we're so glad to have him with us today. He has an upcoming book in December. It's called Mysteries of the Taos Caves, The Lost Civilizations Where the Andes Meet the Amazon. And I'm talking about Alex Cianetti, the author of that book. He is also an award-winning journalist, explorer, and filmmaker, a consulting producer for several seasons of Ancient Aliens. His documentaries have been broadcast on Fox, NBC, A&E, History Channel, and other international networks. He is the discoverer of two lost cities in the Andean region and a member of the Explorers Club, and he lives near New York City. We're so glad to have him with us today. Alex Cianetti, thank you for joining us.
Okay, it's a big pleasure to be in your show.
All right. Well, very good. Well, we're glad to have this. Now, as I understand, you've been researching these caves for over 30 years now. Can you talk to us about the early days? I know there was that big 1976 expedition, which was very, very interesting. But talk to us about the Taos Caves and how you got involved with their exploration.
Well, the Taos Caves, it starts with my teenage years. I was growing up in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, and I wrote an early book. I was kind of always a curious child and interested in nature and natural science and exploration, but also in researching beyond the material world. And I wrote a book called Parallel Worlds, and in one of the chapters I developed, one of the part of the book was about intraterrestrial worlds. No, it was not only about extraterrestrials, as the name, the original name was Mundos Paralelos, was an early exploration on the further dimensions and the outer space. And well, it was a kind of an essay. The book won an award, one of the chapters was about the Cave of Taos, what I found information in a magazine. And the chapter talked about the experience of an early explorer, Julio Goyen Aguado, who was an speleologist. And he narrated this fascinating experience in the 60s and the 70s, and he was a member of that expedition you mentioned in 1976. When he had the privilege to be the escort of the American astronaut Neil Armstrong. And nobody knows in that time Neil Armstrong, after he back from the moon in 1969, he was interested in other further adventures, but not from to the outer space, but to the inner space. And Julio was in the news, and through another friend of mine, he called me, said, well, who wrote about this our place? And I went to meet him. And we were in the same city, and I went, and he was interrogating me. when I was interested to interview him about an external extending my research on the subject. And that was in the late 70s. Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was when I met him, was just after my book came out. And that was 3 years after he returned from that famous expedition. But I discovered before, he was one of the main characters in this story. And this story starts between Argentina and Ecuador, and it's a kind of an epic journey. He was the only witness person in that time who was successful, really have the experience to find that famous lost golden library. And this metal library is one of the bigger archaeological mysteries I tried to resolve through all my life and through my book too. Also, well, the subject in that time, until recent, was not well known, until I have the opportunity to place it in this series Ancient Aliens. That is, before and after that things, the cave was not very well known. Since I arrived to this country many years ago, my idea is to bring it to the American public. And I was the one who brought the subject to the American public in the 80s when I started to live in the States. No? And since now, that grew up as one of the classical mysteries, no? As we could make a comparison of the caves with with another classical mysteries as the Bermuda Triangle,
Nazca Lines, so forth and so on. Yes. Now, let me ask you this, because maybe some people out there are not familiar with the Taos Caves. Can you describe them in terms of where they are, how large they are, what is the population of the people who surround it? Can you give the people maybe a baseline understanding of the physicality of the caves?
Well, the Taos Caves are caves located in the Amazonian jungle between Ecuador and Peru. It's part of a system. It's not only one cave, but more than 100 caves. They're called Taos Caves thanks to the existence of these bears, oil bears. We find that type of caves also along all the Andes and also along the Amazon jungle. Also, we found it in Venezuela. We found it in Peru. But mainly the Taos Caves turned famous in association with this archaeological lost treasure or mystery. And they are located in the southeastern part of Ecuador, and it's a geological constitution of volcanic andesite, limestone, and there are caves who are permeable to water erosion. That is, they turn this kind of intricate formations, very curious constitutions. But they also, the interesting aspect is one particular one who was part of that expedition, you quote, have the structure of megalithic stones, and had been a big debate if these structures are or geological, natural constitution, or artificial. And in 30, 40 years of my research, my position, my inclination is toward is an artificial kind of a structure, almost a kind of, we could say, a megalithic atomic shelter from the prehistory or the proto-history. And I have many elements of analysis through my relation with Julio, who was a great speleologist from that period for many years, not only with this case, but with proved caves and in many other countries. And I started my research in speleology in the late 70s through him, but he was director of the Archaeological and Speleological Center of Argentina. And he had the theory was a lost civilization who have been living in the inner caves along all South America. And he was merging with another researcher, Hungarian, who also immigrated to Argentina to live in the late 50s and the 50s, and they merged in the same search and the same kind of investigation and inspiration to find the proof of the civilization who live under South America and the Americas and along the tunnels, along long and small caves, yeah, in the inner world. And then the area is totally desolated. You see, the population around is part of the Shuar Indians. The Shuar Indians, they used to be known as the Jíbaros, but now nobody uses anymore the term Jíbaros. They consider it was a despective association with the tribes who shrink the heads, no? The famous headhunters from the old movies.
Now these caves, the thing that, if I understand correctly, one of the remarkable things about these caves, if you go into them, you see things that almost show signs of engineering, sharp corners, things that shouldn't be there naturally, but they are. Is that correct? And can you explain kind of these things that seem out of place for what is supposed to be is just a natural creation?
Right. As I was saying, one of the interpretation is kind of they're part of a water erosion, but you found this kind of blocks, very polished walls, very kind of right and dead angles, sharp angles, who give you the impression is kind of an artificial thing. But one of my intents is to find one photo I saw from the expedition of 1969, but before 1976, the real discoverer of the cave is Janos Morix. And we just celebrate this year the 50th anniversary of the discovery, no? And at the same time, Morix was discovering the cave or doing the first official expedition with the Ecuadorian government and the army. The main was on the moon. So in the same moment the Apollo 11 was landing on the moon, this first expedition was descending to the caves. And coming back to the angles, yes, that is the main interest in that expedition of 69 was trying to prove the existence of the underground war. And that photos and that rumors recollected since the cave was originally sited in the 1900s, but nobody descend. For to this, the number one cave is called the Cuangos Cave. And the Cuangos is for this next to a river called Cuangos. This is in the area of Morona, Santiago, Ecuador, just kind of 30, 40 miles from the border with Peru. And the structures, the photos show this kind of long brick wall with a kind of a big gate. And that gate was kind of sustained but angular stones. When I saw that picture, I said, this is a kind of architectonic structure. And if you have symmetry in both sides of the gate, we could see it's sustained by some kind of, as you said, engineer. They were some stone engineer. And this connect with the megalithic type of carving and polishes the Incas and the pre-Incas use in the Andes. And that was my association. This is a connection point. But in the last 30 years, we have to face the opposition of many geologists who get to the conclusion it's a fluvial, it's a river erosion, as the water produces very capricious forms, no? Circular, rectangular, and the brick of the stones, who looks like a wall, a brick wall, could be cracks from this erosive influence, no? But it's not that. You found the stones are cut with a very different technology, kind of, we could say, advanced for that time. And there were some archaeological findings inside of the caves in that expedition of 76 and later on, of ceramics and also one skeleton who was kind of dissolved when was found. But we found also a spondylus what is the shells coming from the Pacific. That place was habitat in the before Christ, maybe 1,000 years before Christ, according to the datation of that bones. And that proved another mystery, but you don't have access to that cave. You have access through descending to ropes. The main entrance is a drop of 80 meters, and it's kind of one block tall. And there are other collateral kind of entrance through the next approximation of the river system. But that very rare ancient people come through the river. But it's possible, no? I have a friend who found one of the second entrances in a more recent expedition, but that is something who have to be tested. But again, it's these structures give fame to the cave. Plus, in 1968, Jan Morris and my friend Julio Goyena Wado, who was a long friend and mentor, he had the experience to find this huge metal library with metal plates, with inscriptions, with different type of scripture and sculptures and other type of artifacts in one of these cave systems, not necessary in the Cuangos cave system. And that is another kind of mystery. What is the real on the right side of the finding? And that as there were many kind of political kind of complications, they decide to hide the real side of their kind of experience or visualization, no? But it was not totally a material proof.
Now, wasn't there a priest who had artifacts and claimed they're from the cave system?
I know you were coming to that point. I know. Well, the story is have many layers. That is, I tried to resolve all the layers in my book, and my book is the first one who trying to analyze step by step, point by point, in the chronological order also. I'm mixing with my expeditions, but I did several expeditions in the last decade trying to verify what my friends claim from the 60s to today. But the priest is one of the one who created the association with the priest is Erich von Däniken, with his bestseller of 1974, Gold of the Gods, El Oro de los Dioses, no? As it was known in the Spanish language in that time. And until that time, the Father Crespi was an Italian Salesian father who have a church and a museum in the city of Cuenca. That is one of the pillars of the mystery through the media, through all, since von Däniken, through more recent kind of television shows and pseudo explorers and curious people who had been attending massive in the last 10 years after the release of the Ancient Aliens episode, had been creating a lot of kind of more focus and confusion with Crespi. Yes, it's a relation with Crespi, but always either Morix or Julio or Goyena Wado separate the two things. Cuenca is in the area. It's not, it's kind of a couple hundred kilometers from the site of the caves. And some of the scrolls could be connected, but either in that time they said, oh, these scrolls come out, these metal figures and this kind of metal plates from Father Crespi, they come out from, they emerge, or they were brought by the Indians who lives in the Tayos caves. And that is not any evidence of that. The 90% of the Crespi scrolls today, some in gold, some in copper, some in tin, some made with wheels, metal or crap metal, are more contemporary. And the real archaeological artifacts of Crespi, they were selected by the Museum of Cuenca in the 70s, both in the 80s, and they prove it's a big difference between the real artifacts, archaeological, and we could call the contemporary art. And this kind of metal scrolls found in the remainings of the Crespi collection were left there by this commission of local archaeologists who made a survey, and they make the acquisition of the more important authentic relics. The remaining, they were left there, and they show this kind of metal carvings, but from one artist. It's the same artist and all. Looks like it was a very prolific artist. Unfortunately, it's hard to kind of prove the antiquity of these false or these true parts. But they found these many, many interesting things. They show a totally different culture. The Shuar Indians, they never were interested really in gold in that part of the Andes. It's different of the Incas and the pre-Incas. The use of the metal was come more from the coast. You could find graves with a lot of use of gold in the pre-Hispanic times, but not in the area of near the caves. The aboriginals didn't really consider the gold as a very kind of interesting or worshipping material, no? And I really, for years, I interview the Shuar elders, the Jíbaros, and they said, no, we never really find any scrolls around here. The elders of the ancient, they used to kind of nail some kind of piece of metals to the trees, but they were kind of a small kind of strips, and they reflect the sun, etc. But it's not really a tradition of them. And I interviewed many ones. But you have also the other version who said they went and they found caves with this treasure. No, and again, it's a legend of this treasure was found in the 50s, in early 40s, and according to another military who was kind of lost with another elder of the tribes. Unfortunately, everybody is dead now, and it was hard. Already they were dead when I started my research in the 80s, late 70s. It was hard to reconstruct, but the only one who was alive was my close friend Julio, who was not living in Ecuador, but he used to explore that underground war.
Now, in terms of technology, I mean, when you're looking at these ancient sites, I mean, we have technologies now that could have some very big implications when it comes to archaeological research. Is there any technology that has been used in the last few years or may be used to help solve some of these mysteries, do you think?
The technologies to resolve? Well, in the Andes, we have this legend, what I was following for many years, trying to find also evidence of the melting, of the dissolving of the rocks. We have this kind of legend, was a liquid who have the power to melt the rocks. And that will explain the perfection of many massive monuments as Sacsayhuaman, Ollantaytambo, Pisac, and other marvelous of architecture. Not only in the classical Inca structure, but also in the pre-Inca ones. And we find this kind of legend around in many towns and many roads of the Incas when they tell you, oh, yes, it was a water, it was a kind of a substance, and they carry it, and they wet skin hives, cow hides, and they cover the stones, and the stones start to melt. And also, how they make this ashton? Oh, it was a special herb. It was this bird who also was degluting this bird, kind of regurgitating, and with that substance produce a chemical influence. But I never found the herb. I never found the exactly bird. I have the name of the species, but I never saw that birds producing that kind of substance, and the Indians retrieving this herb from the nest and putting over the rocks. And believe me, I look for that herbs in museums and in villages, and many said, well, we have the secret, but we're going to reveal it again. And it's, until now, nobody, any archaeological guy or official anthropologist couldn't find that herb, neither all the experts in medicinal plants, who are many. It's a big industry now, too, with that, in the pharmaceutical level, no? In the official and not well-known kind of explorers of the botanical realm. Coming back to the technology, no, today we cannot reproduce that kind of technology to cut and to encastrate, pile the rocks as they used to do it. Neither the formation we have inside of the Quangus Caves is hard to explain through the archaeological, architectonical, easy solution. through the our contemporary engineering and construction abilities, no? It's a big riddle. It's a lost technology. Yeah, it's a lost kind of tradition. We know some things. Yeah, they use regular carvings. It's coming back to the same thing with Egypt, and I always make a comparison with it between Egypt and Mesoamerica and South America early constructions. No, we have. To a certain point, we could explain the local knowledge of construction. But in other levels, we cannot explain it with the architectonical techniques and tradition we have today. Yes, I don't know if that answered your question.
Yes, and then secondly, I wanted to ask you about our technology today. The technology that we have to investigate these things. Do you see that the technology that is coming around now in terms of these tools that are used to explore these ancient sites, do you think that they will be helpful in understanding the Taos Caves better?
Yes, we have to apply a new kind of technologies, some kind of measurements we could do with the laser technology, for example, and the use of LIDAR and other things around the area. Yeah, I hope we could find some structures. I am working that for the further analysis of the sites. With my experience in expeditions, I found many other sites who have this type of construction we cannot prove is natural or artificial. And using the new technology we're using for the space, I think we are coming back. We could back to further findings and go more deep. But this system of tunnels run along the, not only the South America, also they have extension to North America plate. And they present the same kind of structure, these anomalies. But you don't find in many other caves in the level amount in Tajos. One of the things, my connecting points, and also Julio was interested in that, and that connect my destiny to research another plateau in the Andes, what is the Marcahuasi Plateau. I don't mention or quote too much this plateau in connection with the Tajos, but also this plateau have underground kind of constructions, but also on the surface have sculptures who we cannot explain the type of technology used to these sculptures who are really activated through the sunlight in equinox and solstice. And so you could see with more clarity these figures. These figures are natural, but also they have some overlap technology to kind of mold these massive rocks with the structures of with the shape of animal and human figures. And they used to call, the locals used to call, forests of stone, or the stone forest. And you find in this plateau, in 1 square mile, you find more than 500 of these sculptures. Yes, and again, the geologists say this is a random of the nature, but you don't find this kind of random in another other place. And the structure have, when it's a face, you have eyes, you have mouth, you have bilateral symmetry. And also in the deeps, you have these constructions with these megalithic blocks who are cut with perfection too. And well, that is another radio program I could tell you on the picture. Yes, and I also wrote a book, but I never published, about the plateau. And also, this plateau is in one of the episodes I developed for Ancient Aliens in the early seasons.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion. We've talked about the mysteries of the Taos Caves, the lost civilizations where the Andes meet the Amazon. And Alex, I know that it's a little bit before the book is coming out in December, but I'm looking right here and people can pre-order it at Amazon right now. And I'm assuming get it wherever fine books are sold once it's out, correct?
Yeah, the book is published by Inner Traditions and the Bear Company and distributed by Simon & Schuster. And yes, you could pre-order by Amazon. Yeah, it's coming in December 10th.
Is there any place you would direct people if they want to find out more about your work in general?
I am restoring my site. I have to close it down, but you could Google me, and if there are many links, you could see it and through Google with my name.
A lot of interesting information. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today, and we appreciate your time and kudos on your exploration of the Taos Caves.
Yes, it's to describe the story and all the mysteries of the caves, you have to really have several programs. It's hard to compress in kind of in one only program. I said I am open to have another program to talk about other collateral elements of the caves, and also the Crespi collection, new discoveries and the new investigations along this intraterrestrial war. But I hope with my book I will clarify many points and open the investigation for more. I know it's a new generation of young people who are very intrigued for this new modern contemporary mystery too.
Well, again, we thank you, Alex. It was great talking to you about the mysteries of the Taos Caves. I enjoyed that. I think it's so interesting how we always think of space, and we think about all of the things that are out there, but we still don't know what's here on Earth. It's amazing to me, the mysteries that we have not figured out, and that's why it's always so much fun to talk about them on Ancient Mysteries on the Air. I thank you for joining us in the journey. And we'll talk to you next time and keep exploring those mysteries. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.